Get Up with Josiah and Herbie. On Hit 96.9.
Ah, Monday, it's always a stretch. Had three coffees this morning, Herb. Still didn't do much.
Yeah, you still look sleepy over there.
Yeah, the eyes are a bit tired. The body and the mind feels great, though.
It should, though, because we had an amazing show.
Have you lied to get a job? One of the craziest stories have come out of Pakistan from the weekend. So we kind of toned it down a little bit. And did it right here in the GV.
I am the best golfer that's ever hit a course.
Not bad.
So you can't even say I'm not because I'm pretty good.
Because I expected worse. And I know how hard the game is. You've done it right here.
Yay.
We do talk about that. Plus mowing. Herbie's started a fight with every neighbour on a Sunday.
Well, I haven't. My aunties have. They are very cranky about something. Turns out they featured in my weekend a lot because I went away with them and I actually met a guy at a pub. A bit of a love story, you could say.
He did something that I reckon is tactically brilliant.
It's a good tactic if you are single out there.
Very, very smart. Plus, we're in a war with the Northern Territory Victorians. Oh. We need to unite. If you are from Victoria, for everyone else, you'll be able to laugh at us. Enjoy the podcast. Thank you for downloading.
Get Up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Over the weekend, though, I was in Maryborough with my aunties and my cousin. And on Saturday, we went out for lunch to a winery, Blue Pyrenees. It was lovely. And on the way back, I noticed the time. It was 4:30 and I thought, oh, golly, get me to a pub now. Saints are playing. Saints v Richmond. And boy, did we play. Woo! Sorry, all you Tiger fans out there.
All right, get to the point of the story.
So my aunties dropped my cousin and I off at the pub, Park Hotel, it was called. Wasn't pumping because you can only have the 20 people in the room at the one time. Anyway, we sat down during, you know, the viewing of the football and the schooners. They were going down great. And then all of a sudden this guy came over. He, I'd say probably 30-ish. He looked around early 30s, late 20s, came up and he said, hey, how are you going? And I just started speaking to him, being quite friendly, you know, pub chat. And then he said, do you want to sign the card? And I was like, what? He goes, do you want to sign the card? And my face said it all. I was so confused going, what card? And then all of a sudden he goes to lift up his shirt. And now I'm really thinking, what is going on? What's a card? Why is your shirt getting lifted up? And then next thing I know, there's this ginormous card that he is hiding in his pants and covering with a shirt over the top. And he pulls it out. He goes, it's Otto's 80th. He'd love you to sign his card.
Otto's 80th.
Otto's 80th. And I look over at the bar and there's Otto. They've got him a cowboy hat and it has a feather bow around it. Good old Otto. And he goes, he'd love you to sign his card. And so, of course I did. I'm not going to knock that back. It's his 80th.
Did this guy think you were part of the party? Like, did he presume? Like, did you walk into, like, a function or something?
No, we didn't walk into the function. We definitely weren't part of the party because it was very obvious that we weren't part of the party. Anyway, I signed Otto's card, gave him a message, and then he put it back in his pants and walked away.
I'm really concerned. Actually, I'm not concerned. I reckon this is a smart human being because as a bloke, they're always forever searching for different tactics to go up to girls. He's in Maryborough, right? He's not expecting to see a young girl there with her auntie with no one else around, especially after being locked up for the last few months. Some guys need an opening or they need some sort of excuse to go up to a girl. And most likely, more often than not, that's using a prop. Trust me, it is dating 101. Many guys out there.
You reckon this is a tactic?
100%. Because you're with your auntie. He's not going to just go, hey, what's up? You know, can I have your number? In other words, he's like, hey, why is there a card, first of all?
It wasn't the little card. It was the big card, like an A3 size card.
And it's in his pants as well. Like, say no more. The guys just whipped that out. It was either you or the next girl in there that he was going to get to sign that birthday card. How did he go? Did he get chatting to you after you signed it?
Well, I tell you what, I don't know why I didn't realize it at the time. He then put the card away and he goes, I better go get my beer. I can finish it here now.
He's you know what, this bloke's textbook. But I like his unique creativity because I've never thought of a birthday card.
There you go. Take it with you this weekend, however you want to go. A birthday card, it works. I wrote my name as well, so he got that.
Oh, mate, he's followed you on Instagram. You know what, he's probably outside your bedroom window as we speak.
Get Up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
This is Herb's probably the most unbelievable story I've heard. It's actually sad to begin with. In Pakistan last month, there was an airline crash that killed 98 people in Karachi, which is very sad. So
very gloom. Why are you bringing that to our table today?
Well, they launched an investigation into it. And it turns out they've just had to pull 150 pilots out of the sky in Pakistan because after an investigation, it's revealed that they've cheated exams and obtained fraudulent licenses to fly.
Oh, now, that's a big problem, you'd think.
150 pilots, which is over a third of, we're not normally meant to read out airlines on the show because they could be potential sponsors, but Pakistan International Airlines.
Ooh, just lost them.
I don't think they're a sponsor of the show, so I think it's okay to say it. I'd be boycotting them for a little bit because 150 of their airline of their pilots, listen to this, asked for other people took the exams for them. They paid the actual pilots a bit of coin to do it for them, and then they just chucked their faces on the cards, got their license that time. Some of them didn't know how to fly a plane, hence why one of them crashed.
Why would you want to actually do that? I understand when you're at uni or school and in some cases you might cheat there. I don't recommend doing it, but it happens. Being a pilot, you need to learn how to fly that thing. You can't just cheat your way into doing that.
It's a little bit different, isn't it? It's because it's one of the most highest paid jobs in the country of Pakistan at the moment. It's what everyone wants to be. You kind of, you know, a bit of a celebrity and stuff if you are, because it's such a cool job to have.
But you also need to know how to do it or you'll die.
Hence why, unfortunately, 98 people lost their lives. This is what I want to talk about this morning, Goulburn Valley, 13, 12, 16. Have you lied to get a job? That is probably the most extreme example you hear.
That's just a big, big lie.
I mean, probably more white lies in your job. For example, I talk about on the show a lot, I was a landscaper for 5 years, and part of my job was to drive the bobcat and the forklift around, and, you know, we'd pick up pallets. People would come into our landscape yard, and what they'd do is they'd come with their trailers, and, hey, can we just get a scoop of mulch? Can I get a scoop of dirt? All that sort of stuff. I'd jump in the bobcat to get the job. I had to have my license. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I've got my bobcat license, got my forklift license, when they asked me.
Didn't have it.
I don't have one.
See, it's a bit of extra mayo you've added there.
If he turned around and said, "Can I see it?" I would have been in a bit of trouble. But the manager never asked
never
for
asked.
It.
See, that's a white, like, that lie isn't.
I mean, it's a lie.
It's not hurting anyone. It's not. It's at this stage, if you actually know how to do it, then I can understand.
And I was a great driver, except for the one time when the soil, they wanted a ton of soil and it was wet, so it was heavier than normal.
It's a lot.
I was meant to do a half scoop, did a full scoop. It tipped onto the bloke's trailer, caused a bit of damage.
All right, needed a license on that occasion.
13, 12, 16, moving straight along. Have you lied to get a job?
I don't think I have.
You're a pretty honest person, aren't you? I'll do anything to get a coin.
I haven't got a good poker face. Even if I did, I'd give it away straight away.
Even for this, like, I've been in radio for 11 years before I came to Shet, well, 10 years. I've never done radio announcer. They said, what's your experience on the radio? I was like, I did this segment and this segment at another station, made it sound like I was a lot bigger than I was. Never did anything.
Just press some buttons.
That's it. 13, 12, 16. Have you lied on a resume or have you lied to their face to get a job? Josh, have you done it, mate?
I have, yes. I was trying to go for a foreman of a building company and told them that I was a qualified builder and everything, doing remedial work, and didn't have those qualifications, was able to get the job, and it cost them a fortune with my waterproofing mistakes.
How did you convince them? Did they not ask? I kind of feel like, Josh, good on you for lying, because if they don't check the required documents, that's kind of on them, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I know the language because I've always been a labourer in the building trade, so I knew what I had to say. But, I mean, it was good run while I had it, but literally there are some buildings that I've cost people some big money.
How long were you foreman for then, Josh?
I lasted for about 9 months until the problems came through.
Can you let me know what buildings you've built around town and just let me know so I know never to go in them?
I'll keep that quiet.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
I mentioned earlier in the show that I went away this weekend to Maryborough with my mum and aunties, a little family girls weekend away. The house was gorgeous. It's an old, old house, so the ceilings were huge. You would have loved it, Josiah. And
where was my invite?
Massive, you're not a girl. Massive gardens, which it was just beautiful to be there on a Saturday afternoon having a drink with my family. Loved it. But the problem came yesterday morning. And now my aunties, my mum, they're all in their 50s now and they're very middle age and things can annoy them more than other people, I'd say. And they like to voice their opinion.
Yeah, okay.
Your mum similar?
No, my mum's pretty cruisy, to be honest. She's the opposite.
Do you know what? I think it's because there's multiple of them. They're the four sisters. And I think when there's a gang that you get each other, you know, riled up a little bit.
I guess the only thing that annoys mum would be my dad.
That's just usual. And so yesterday morning, woke up, and I get up pretty early, no matter if it's a weekend or weekday. And I was you know, roaming around the house, and then I could hear from one of the bedrooms, "Can they stop it?" And I was like, "What is going on? Oh, it's so loud." And I had to walk in there. I've gone, "Clem, what's going on?" She's like, "The guy next door is mowing."
What time was it?
Now, I reckon it was probably, it would be close to 9 o'clock. It wasn't late for me. It wasn't early, but it wasn't like in the middle, like midday or anything.
Yeah, but knowing your aunties, they've all polished off about 5 bottles of wine each the night before.
Not
so
wrong.
Any noise before 9, 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning to them, especially when they've finally got weekend away from the family as well, all you want to do is sleep in.
Don't know if you caught my Insta stories over the weekend. They definitely did polish off a couple of bottles.
More than five, I think.
And so they were cranky. And then it started a whole discussion for the whole morning. This is what our morning was revolved around, about mowing. People should not be allowed to mow on Sundays, is their opinion. They're saying, look, there's 6 other days in the week. Do it then. Sundays, allow people to sleep in. Now, I've had problems before when people have done it too early, because that's an issue. But for me, you can mow any day of the week.
Yeah, I feel personally attacked by your aunties, because Sundays is usually my day to mow the lawns.
Yeah, see?
Who's mowing their lawns at this time of year, though? The grass isn't growing much.
Well,
so this guy's really gone on a mission, hasn't he?
When I walked out the front, the grass was still ice. So I don't know what was happening with his mower, but it was an issue. But I thought it would be interesting, because maybe we should put a ban in for mowing on Sundays for noise, because people do like their sleep-ins, and I get that. At the moment, as it stands in Victoria, you can't mow before 9 a.m. on a Sunday. That is the rules.
Which I'm for. I don't get out of bed to most weekends 10 o'clock, like, because we get up at 4. Yeah. So as soon as the weekend rolls out, don't wake me up. If I hear noise mowing the lawns, for sure. But to ban it completely on a whole day, like your aunties are saying, is a massive call.
It's a big call, but I don't want to mess with the aunties. They're four sisters, as I said. They love each other and they love their opinions. So I thought I'd bring it to you guys this morning, GV. Should we ban mowing on a Sunday? Should it just be Dunskies? No more. We've got a poll up at our Instagram at HitGV. Isn't looking like it's in my auntie's favour at this stage.
You can get on and vote. We'll read out the results in just a second. But first, Lance is in Tongala this morning, mate. Do you reckon it should be banned on a Sunday?
Well, I think there might be another story. The girls might have had a few wines and partied a bit late, and the bloke next door is just getting them back.
Do you know what? You're right. You're definitely right. He was getting rowdy.
Yeah, noise might have kept him awake, so he thought, I'll get these girls back with a bit of mowing.
That's actually a great tactic. If any of your neighbours have ever done something like that, you can be so petty, set the alarm nice and early, fire up the mower. You know it's going to hurt their head. You ever done something like this before, Lance?
Not me personally, mate, but I have heard of it done.
It's a smart tactic that I've never thought of. Which do you reckon is louder, the mower or the blower?
Probably the blower.
Yeah, I reckon, and that noise would do my head in more. It's like if you're a parent with kids as well, Lance, you could just do the same thing. Instead of a mower, just release the kids into the back of it. Good on you, mate. Really appreciate the call this morning. How are we on the HitGV Instagram, Herbs?
I've got 1% more added to the yes. 11% of the GV think yes, mowing should be banned, but 89% say no.
Your aunties are in the vast majority, to say the least.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie
on Hit 96.9.
Last week, we got in a massive war of words with South Australia. If you did miss it, this is what Daniel Andrews said about the state of SA.
Don't get too stressed that they won't let you into Adelaide. Why would you really want to go there?
What do you make of South Australia opening its borders to several other states but not Victoria?
Well, look, I don't want to be offensive to South Australians, but why would you want to go there?
Strong words from our Premier, and good on him. It's so good.
I mean, he loves Victoria, and that's what you want out of a Premier.
We picked a fight with SA last week. I'm calling it, we won that fight. Like, Let's be honest, as Victorians, I'm going to say 99.99% of us would be way happier to holiday on our doorstep than heading to Adelaide.
Yeah, no thank you. I'm right.
Until now, we've started another fight. Well, actually, we haven't started this one. They've started on us, but I feel like Daniel Andrews, today's going to be a big day for the bloke. I reckon he's going to come out and have a few words to them. The Northern Territory.
Oh, the NT. What have they done?
Well, first of all, you're not even a state, so don't even talk to us until you become a state. You're just a territory.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. You've only got a T.
As our coronavirus outbreak continues to worsen, yesterday, our biggest day of outbreaks in, I think, 2-3 months, I saw a stat. The NT News, it's a very famous news outlet up there.
I do give them credit, the NT News. They do creative articles.
They've done an article yesterday which said on the front page, can Victoria and Tasmania swap, please? Victoria should be its own island right now.
Oh,
They've then called out to ScoMo saying, hey, ScoMo, the time has come for hashtag Vixit.
Wow.
Huge.
That's, I don't know how I feel about that. I'm not happy.
How would Daniel, what would Daniel Andrews have to say?
Why would you want to go there?
That's a good point. Right. Be honest now. I want you, Herbie, as someone, have you ever been to up to the Northern Territory?
No, I haven't. You were, meant to go on holiday? I'm supposed to be going to Darwin.
Seriously, why would you want to go there?
Why would you want to go there?
No, thank you.
Now, what have you heard, besides obviously Uluru's there, what else is there in the Northern Territory that could possibly be better than our own state in Victoria that would make me want to leave the Goulburn Valley to head there?
So, I know, for one, the weather can be quite enticing.
Yeah, it's like 32 in winter there.
It's quite warm there.
Yeah, but hang on, Herbs. We have four seasons in one day here in Victoria.
Don't get me wrong, I like that. Crocodiles, they're known for it there. A lot of attacks as well.
Yeah.
Why would you want to go there?
Why would you want to go there? Well, crocodile doesn't entice me one bit unless it's on a leather back. Oh, I can't say that.
They've got the Mindle Street Sunset Markets.
Oh, my favourite.
Why would you want to go there?
We've got the Violet Town Markets, Herbie. Thank you very much.
Their wetlands are quite nice.
We've got the Winton Wetlands.
Why would you want to go there?
It's true. A day trip to Tiwi Islands.
Are you just Googling the top 10 things to do in Darwin? Because I'm telling you what.
Why would you want to go there?
I haven't been there, so I don't know.
You're not doing them any favours. Not one of the... Do you know what? The only thing in the whole of the Northern Territory I'd like to do is Uluru at this stage.
You can't even do that these days.
The wetlands. That's in their top 10.
That was in their top 10, their wetlands on TripAdvisor. I'm not lying.
Why would you want to go there?
They're calling for a Vixit, but seriously, Northern Territory, it's rich coming from them because I reckon they've already always been like their own state anyway.
Yeah, no one ever goes there.
If there is one good thing about the Northern Territory that you know, Goulburn Valley, feel free to let us know on 13, 12, 16. Otherwise, we're going to back Daniel Andrews in here.
Why would you want to go there?
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
You've done a fair bit in your 30 years of living. You've gone to kinder, you've gone to primary school, high school, you've completed a diploma in journalism, you've done landscaping, you've dabbled in it all, you'd say.
You sound like my dating profile.
Yeah, I'm helping you out here. But you have done a fair bit. But one thing you haven't done is completed a degree, and more so the next step, a master's of one.
Yeah, I kind of like that I don't. And the reason why I say this is I've had family, relatives and aunties going, you have to get your degree. No, I don't. My granddad, for example, dropped out of school when he was 13, 14, roughly around then. And he told me a fact that he said most 90% of A-grade students end up working for B-grade students.
There you go.
So B-graders, I'm on your team today. A-graders, good luck to you.
I think I could change your opinion, though, and there might be a course that you actually would like to take, because only one other person in the world has completed it, and it's something I think that sparks some interest about your skill level and also your competitive nature. So a Japanese university has just awarded the first ever degree in ninja studies. Everybody was kung fu
fighting. You have my attention.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've all heard of ninjas, and I know that there is a town over in Japan, Iga, the Iga province, that's where the ninja was formed, that they still do ninja training there, but no one has ever been given a piece of paper saying, you are a ninja.
Not even the Ninja Warrior winner?
No, they get money. They don't get, they're not getting no paper saying you're a ninja.
I mean, I kind of, sorry to, you know, make your talk break go down a level or two, but I kind of prefer the money than a certificate.
Although it'd be cool to say you're the only other ninja in the world.
Imagine the perks you get as well. Yeah. No, as if the Secret Service and stuff wouldn't come up to you going, hey, that guy, he's a degree in ninja. Let's get him on our team to do some stuff. Hey, Josiah, he's a millie.
Oh, it'd be great. It'd be great. Now, you're probably wondering, how can I become a ninja? Good question. So, master student Genichi, who is the only ninja out there at the moment, he spent 2 years examining historical documents on the true nature of these stealth fighters while perfecting his martial arts skill. Now, he also bought a wooden story, a double-story house in the Iga province, so that's the birthplace of the ninja, and he there worked as a farmer because he read that ninjas back in the day, they worked as farmers in the morning and then they did martial arts in the afternoon, so that's what he did. He farmed every day. Now, with this combination, he believed that he could become a real ninja, and that's exactly what has now happened. He had to write a thesis. I know you like writing, and so you got a thesis, you farm, you learn martial arts. Basically, those three, you're a ninja. Everybody was kung
fu fighting. Well, like you said, farm work. I could go join a dairy farm, local dairy farm here in the Goulburn Valley.
The fruits.
an orchard, yep. Start picking, and then in the Arvo study Ninge, neck minute, I'm one of the, or the second in the world. Mm. My competitive edge is alerted. It is aware. I just have a few things on my plate at the moment, Herb, so we'll see how we go.
Can let you know first, the professor who did award the Ninja certificate has said one thing. Any prospective students that want to do the course should learn that not to become one. So if you get the Ninja certificate, you're not actually going to become a ninja.
Okay, well, I'm no chance then, am I?
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Now, over the weekend, I went to Maryborough because my mum and three aunties were there. So had a little girls' trip on a nice weekend away.
Yeah, the girls.
And on Friday, when I arrived in Maryborough, they called me and said, hey, come meet us at the golf course. We're going to have a hit of golf. Want you to play. And I thought, rightio. I mean, it's something I've never done before, and I've seen it on TV. It's a little boring to watch, I won't lie.
Don't. Be careful. Be very careful.
I know a lot of people are very passionate about my old housemate from Wagga. He used to play religiously every weekend, even weeknights, and would go on about how great it is and how hard it is. And me thinking I'm pretty good at sport, I went in going, I'll be fine at this. I mean, there's not much to it. There's a ball. You got your stick. You're good to go.
It's not cricket, Herbs, and this is why they get paid so much money, because it's genuinely, in my opinion, the toughest sport in the world, because I have a great hand-eye coordination, except when it comes to golf, it is a very different ball game.
I quickly learnt that. So we rocked up at the Maryborough golf course, and I'm very confident. I'm thinking, I've got this. Boom. And let me tell you, I definitely did have it on the first... We started on, we only did nine holes, so I think we did the back nine, and I did my first drive. That I have a bit of power to, but what I quickly got told was that too much power. So it's supposedly not about how hard you hit the ball, it's about the action.
Who taught you which club to use depending on which hole and how your distance and that? Because a first timer, that's a very strange concept to get your head around if you've got no direction.
Yeah, yeah. My auntie, actually, she's a very good golfer.
Yeah, that's
she
good.
Plays three times a week. It's literally, it's all she does whenever I speak to her. It's all about golf. So she can actually play and knows what she's doing. Me, on the other hand, not so much. I'm better at the start. If you get me on the green, my ball just basically goes back to the start because I hit it so badly because I didn't know you're just supposed to tap it. Now it all makes sense, like tap it, tap it, tap it from Happy Gilmore. I'm terrible. But in saying that, by the end of it, I thought I'd loosened up a little bit. And dare I say, that was only my first time. I reckon if I gave this a crack maybe once every 3 weeks, I would be pretty good.
Every 3 weeks.
If I went once every 3 weeks, I don't need to go every week because I can remember stuff, you know. It's all in the memory, and I'd be maybe on that tour.
My cousin's a professional golfer, and golf is the sort of game where it's not once every 3 weeks, Herbs. It's not like, you know, you can just get straight back into it like
riding a bike.
Oh, it's very different. Golf is pretty well, and any golfers out there know it's an everyday thing. So if you really like this new hobby that much, why don't you head up to the Shep Golf Club, Maroopna Golf Club, and start swinging them, Herbs?
Yeah, I will. Just I'm not doing it every day. I'm pretty good, and I can do it every 3 days or every 3 weeks.
Were you really that good? I want to see you swing.
Look, you can go to our Instagram at HitGV right now. Now, there is a video of me golfing from Friday, and I believe I'm okay, but you guys can actually vote.
Oh, we can judge your swing.
You can judge my swing.
Oh, how good. It's not only judging you as a person, but your swing even better. Herbie the swinger. That's what you look like in this thing. Hey, let me have a look now.
It's a pretty good action. I won't lie.
Is this your first ever time swinging on a golf course?
That was, I think, the second hole.
Because it's not great, but it's not bad.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm good at the start. I just can't tap him.
You connect with the ball here.
Yeah.
Hit GB on Instagram.
See? Herbie's good. Only needs to play every 3 weeks.
Get around to Golden Valley.
Get on up. Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
A lot of people love zoos. I know I'm a big fan of them. And they're something that is a great tourist attraction wherever you go in the world.
Do you know what really kills me a little bit? Because you know how much of a fan of animals I am. Yeah. I still haven't been to the Mansfield Zoo.
Well, when you first told me about the Mansfield Zoo...
That's right. We had a massive fight.
I was very skeptical. Then I saw the sign. I'm going, okay, it is a thing.
Herbie's like, there's no zoo. I'm like, all right, and we're driving to Mount Buller. I was like, take a look up here on the right, Mansfield Zoo this way. You're like, okay then.
Well, I just really thought that it snows there. I was like, what kind of zoo is there? I'm still curious. Need to check it out, and I definitely will. But for people who have been to Japan, you might have been to the zoo that's in Futsu, which is right near the Japanese capital of Tokyo. Now, in this zoo, they've got a lot of monkeys. monkeys. They love their monkeys there, and they bring in a massive crowd.
What, the band themselves, they're locked up there?
No, just some monkeys.
Oh, like the animal.
Animal monkeys.
That makes sense.
And for the primates, I don't know what's in the water over there at the moment. They don't want to be there. They want to be free, it seems, because the monkeys over in this zoo have made a second escape this year. So what these monkeys have done is they're not too sure yet if it was a monkey or if maybe someone has cut the fence, but they believe that the monkeys have actually gnawed through some wire, so much so that they cut a large hole which measured around 48 centimetres wide, and then all these primates have just escaped, similar to the movie The Great Escape.
So good.
Now, in the morning, the zookeeper got up and went to check, hey, where are the monkeys? Got to feed them. Realised they're all over the roofs. They were everywhere. They weren't home at all. And so they've raised the alarm going, nah, these bad boys, they've made a run for it. They're escaping as we speak. And the problem with trying to find all the monkeys that have escaped is that over there in Japan, there's lots of good hidey holes. So they can't actually get all the monkeys back.
So have they got many of them back yet?
They've got a few back, but the local authorities have had to issue warning to residents to not approach the furry escapees. And they've got box traps around with food in it trying to get the monkeys back. But at this stage, there's just monkeys on the loose in Japan.
I love this, especially because I don't know how I feel about zoos, first of all. There's some great ones out there, but then a lot of them push the limit.
Like captivity.
Look at Joe Exotic, for example.
Exactly.
How would you feel if you were locked up in a cage for the rest of your life, Herbs?
I mean, I wouldn't love it, and so I understand why they're doing the escape.
Because there's probably 99% of monkeys out there are probably smarter than you. So... So if you want to feel sorry for themselves, picture yourself and then picture that a monkey is actually quite smart. So that's actually a compliment to yourself.
Thank you.
Now they're being locked up and you know what? They've just had a bit of freedom and you know what? Monkeys, go for it.
Go for it. Yeah.
Run. Never come back.
I mean, if they can get out and escape, I guess when I'm in there, I could probably try. I don't know.
You imagine you in a cage just gnawing at the wires trying to get out of there. What's Herbie doing?
Get up with Josiah and Herbie
on Hit 96.9. I got the right temperature
for shelter you from the storm. Waking up this morning.
Oh, she's freezing, Herbs.
I was cold. Getting out of bed was hard, and then getting to my car was even harder because I had to bring a knife with me to crack through all the ice. It was hard to open the door.
It's a scary sight, Herbie walking around Maroopna with a knife out the front. To all her neighbours, we're sorry for the scare.
I got here in the end.
She did. We are taking your calls, though. We're trying to find the coldest spot in the Goulburn Murray Valley, right across our listening plane this morning. 13 12 16 is our number. Justin is in Shepparton this morning. How cold is it where you are, mate?
Mate, I'd have to say my mother-in-law's heart.
Oh.
So what, minus 10? I don't think they can get that low here.
Mate, at least.
Now, is it a car you're going off? Is it frozen out there?
Nah, my car's under the carport, so I've got nice clear windows this morning.
You're one of the lucky ones.
Well, if you're going off the generic temperature around the place, Justin, you are in Shep. My phone's saying minus one, so you can rate your mother-in-law's heart temperature at minus 1 degrees this morning. How does that sound?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Good
warmer
on you.
Than what
on a balmy, sunny day, it's like that.
Yeah, it's 48 degrees out, but your mother-in-law's temperature is still minus one.
That's it.
Good on you, mate. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, mate.
All right, let's move on to Andrew in Mansfield this morning. Give us your temperature there, mate.
-2 when I started the car this morning.
Whoa. There it is. That's our winner. Did you have your car inside or outside?
It was under the carport, but it still had ice on the windscreen.
Oh, that's cold.
Where are you driving to at the moment, mate?
Almost at work in Glen Rowan.
I was going to say, if you're heading to Mount Buller or something, they're looking at about minus 4 or 5 at the moment, the feels like temperature. Does it say your temperature right in front of you on the gauge at the moment, mate?
Yeah, it's a blistering 2 now.
Oh, it's warm. Wow. It's sunny.
You guys are having a heat wave.
Yeah.
Shepparton at the moment, yeah, it's still saying -1 with a feels like temperature of -1. You know what? -2 in Mansfield. Andrew, you're our winner this morning, mate. Congratulations.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie
on Hit 96.9.
Right now, we're going to do a couple of fun facts because they do say Herbs. A fun fact a day keeps the doctor away.
That
and
is
you,
true.
My friend, are the doctor of the Goulburn Valley this morning.
Yeah, Dr. Herbs is here. Now, this one is just quite interesting, I thought. According to the Centre for Retail Research, cheese is the most commonly shoplifted food in the world.
Wow.
wouldn't have picked it.
Do you think because it's overpriced and people are like, I'm not paying that much for it? Or?
Well, yeah, they're going just your generic tasty or coon cheese, or are we going like a brie?
Oh, you know? I'm thinking something a bit more expensive. They're like, I'm not paying $40 for that.
But still, I don't like paying for cheese. I don't like paying for anything.
It's an interesting fact because also you'd think that the most stolen thing in the world would be an essential.
Cheese could be up there.
Is cheese an essential? Have you got your cheese intake today,
guys? I wonder if this, when this article was written about these facts, because maybe now with everyone being lactose intolerant and not touching milk, only having soy and almond, it's probably gone down.
Or actually at the moment, if that fact was written today, I reckon the most stolen thing in the world would be toilet paper.
This is true. This is very true. This one's interesting. A lot of people could probably remember doing this as kids. Blowing into Nintendo cartridges.
And then slamming into the thing and smacking it as hard as you could.
Didn't actually make them work. In fact, the moisture in the breath corroded the metal prongs that connected the game cartridge to the console.
I beg to differ here.
I did it so many times.
I'm telling you, I tried this so many times. You put it in, it wouldn't work. Put it in, it wouldn't work. Blowing it, put it in, turns on.
See?
Your facts are wrong.
I'm pretty good at my facts.
You're lying to us today.
This is just an interesting one if you're a Bob Marley fan. Bob Marley gave credit for No Woman, No Cry to Vincent Ford, a friend who ran a soup kitchen to ensure the royalty checks would keep it open.
That's unbelievable. I've never heard that.
There you go.
And I'm a massive Bob Marley fan.
Now you know.
And I wonder if, surely the money would still be going there.
Still going. That's why he did it.
You know what? A fact today does keep the doctor away and it keeps that place ticking as well. Good on you, Bob Marley.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.